Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Life and Legacy Show. My name is Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm in Cranberry, where great families make great estate plans. My law firm, called the Seckler Law Firm, only really does a couple of types of cases. We do wills and trusts for people. We help people once they have lost a loved one, and we do nursing home crisis planning. And that is somewhat defined as if you have a loved one go into the nursing home and you start getting this bill for $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a month. Most people start looking for solutions to that financial problem, and we work with families through that. Because we do that kind of planning, we have a heavy asset protection focus in our estate plan, which I'm going to talk to you a little bit in today's show. Now, before we get into the heart of the show, I got to do my lawyer disclaimer. That is, you should not make legal and financial decisions based on what you hear on this or anyone else's radio show. This is for your information. I hope it's a little bit educational. I hope it's a little bit entertaining, but the point is to encourage you to go out and do proper estate planning, not to encourage you to go out and try to do this thing on your own, which is one of the subjects we're going to talk about today. Now, I'm recording this show. You're going to listen to it. If you listen to it live, it is October 2021, and that makes it Estate Planning Awareness Week. Congress told us that more Americans need to become aware of the need for estate planning, and so they created the Estate Planning Awareness Week. Super exciting. Now, if you're like me, I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of the awareness week. I got to become aware of this, and I got to become aware of that. And, you know, pretty soon somebody's going to tell me I got to become aware of the plight of the pigeons downtown. Or I got to become aware of the plight of the chipmunks out in the forest. And, you know, and I don't have anything against pigeons or chipmunks, but we really got to pick our causes here. But, you know, this estate planning business, this is not one you get to pick, right? Estate planning, understanding what's going to happen to you, to your family members, if you get sick or pass away, that's not optional. I can ignore the plight of the pigeons. I cannot ignore the plight of my family if I should pass away young, right? And so I'm going to encourage you to listen to this episode, take a couple of key takeaways. I'm going to tell you some of the things, some of the biggest myths about estate planning. I'm going to talk to you about some of the best reasons why you should go out and do one, and I might share a war story or two about how this stuff works. Before we get into that, if you're looking for more information after the show, check us out at SecklerLawFirm.com, S-E-C-H-L-E-R LawFirm.com. This coming week, we have a live webinar that you can register for on the website, SecklerLawFirm.com. It is an hour and a half session. I think it is Wednesday evening this week at 6 o'clock, so you can log on and check out all we have to say for this week's workshop. During the workshop, we talk about things like wills and trusts and powers of attorney. We talk about asset protection from the nursing home. I talk a fair bit about a tool called an asset protection trust, which I believe to be the best way to protect your stuff. And you'll learn a lot of good information. It is live. You can ask me all the questions you want to ask me. We're hoping to get you good information. So if you want to sign up for the webinar, go to secklerlawfirm.com, find the workshops button, and that will allow you to access the webinar. All right. Now, Estate Planning Awareness Week. I got a couple of myths that I think you need to think about. The first is, you know, there's this concept out there that estate planning is really only for wealthy people, right? So I'm not rich. I don't own a mansion. I don't own a company. I don't have millions sitting in a bank account somewhere. So what the heck do I need to do estate planning for, right? Well, look, you still have some stuff. You still probably have family you care about or a charity you care about. And if we're going to be serious about taking care of this, you know, people work their whole lives to accumulate some things. Whether the stuff you've accumulated has two commas, three commas, four commas, or one comma, it doesn't really matter. What matters is this stuff is important to you, and presumably so is your family, and so is whatever causes you support. And so let's take the step to figure out what we need to do to make sure that the stuff that you have gets to the right people. And so what does that look like? Well, you know, there's a couple of different ways to go about this. We use wills and trust to make this happen. I want to urge you a little bit of caution about just relying on beneficiary designations. A lot of, you know, a lot of your financial accounts have these beneficiary designations on them. And people will just say, well, I'm going to put my kid's name on everything. But there's problems with that, because putting your kid's name on an asset doesn't plan for all the contingencies that life could throw at us. It doesn't plan for all the curveballs. You know, I was watching a playoff baseball the other night. You know, some of these nasty breaking balls and sliders. Life does that to us, right? Life will throw us a disability. Life may throw us a kid's divorce. Life might take away a child's life before it takes away ours. And if that kind of thing happens, then what's the result if I don't have a coordinated plan, right? So we got to do some estate planning. You can use a will. You can use a trust. Maybe we'll get back into that a little bit later. But the point is, you've got to do it. You've got to do some thinking about this. The next myth is that estate planning is really only about what happens when I pass away. And a lot of people think about it that way. You know, the most simplest thing that people think about, the most basic question that people think about when considering whether to do a will is, who gets my stuff when I pass away, right? Like, that's the big question, but that's not the only question. There's a lot of other questions we need to think about and we've got to answer. For example, what happens if I get really, really sick before I pass away? You know, I'm married. We're probably young to be thinking about this as an immediate threat. But what happens if I get sick and need to go to a long-term care setting, and my wife is going to live healthy and happily out in the community for another 20 years? Well, nursing homes in Pennsylvania can cost $130,000 a year, today's dollars. So if I may need the nursing home in a couple of decades, what's it going to cost then, and what's going to be the impact on my wife? I work my tail off. I work a lot of hours. I'm trying to save some money for my family, for my kids. If I get sick and my long-term care costs take away those dollars, what was it all worth? Why did I work so darn hard if I'm just going to lose it all to this broken system when I get sick later? And so we've got to answer some other questions rather than just who gets it. It's not just about who gets it when I pass away. What estate planning is really about, at its core, what we do with these documents, is we're really only ever answering a couple of questions. Who's in control of me and my things? All right, so who's making the decisions around here? Who has access to me and my things? All right, so is it me? Is it my family? Is it the tax man? Is it the nursing home expense? So who's got control? Who's got access? And when? When I'm alive and well, when I get sick, and when I pass away. So today I'm alive and well. I'm in control of my stuff. But something could happen. I could be on my way home from the office and I'm in an accident and I bounce my head off of the dashboard and tomorrow I'm incapacitated. Well, now who makes decisions with regard to my things? And a lot of people will assume your wife can just, my spouse could just make the decisions, or the kids could just make the decisions. But that's not really how this works. If I would become incapacitated, my wife and I have joint assets. Both of our names are on the deed to our house. Both of our names are on our joint checking account. But I've got a retirement account. That's just mine, an individual retirement account, an IRA. That's mine. Now, if I pass away, sure, she may be named as the beneficiary. But if I'm alive and well and I haven't passed away, well, that asset is still mine. So this is a situation where if I've had a head injury and I can't make decisions tomorrow, if I've had a stroke or whatnot, who's going to make those decisions? Who's going to make the decisions with regard to distributions or investments? They don't just simply default to your spouse or your kids. They don't assume, I like my spouse. For all the financial institution knows, I was in this accident that resulted in my head injury. I was in this accident on my way to the divorce attorney's office, and I don't want my spouse to get that money. I prefer to go somewhere else. And so this is where we find ourselves in a situation called guardianship, which, take it from me, guardianship is to be avoided at all costs. You really don't want to go through this process. It's painful. It tears families apart. It costs a bunch of money. And we can avoid it by doing a document called a financial power of attorney. Now, if you do a power of attorney, that document says, who is the person in control, my agent, who's going to be my financial or health decision maker, And then we give them some authority. Here's what they're allowed to do. They're allowed to do this. They're allowed to do this. They're allowed to do this. And we spell out what that agent is allowed to do. So now, if I'm in a car accident, I have appointed someone to make those decisions. Now, this is not a news flash to a lot of the people watching this or listening to this. There's going to be people that are thinking to themselves right now, I have a power of attorney. I'm good. Okay. Well, here's the thing. One of the biggest pet peeves I have with other planners out there, one of the things I see get screwed up the most is what I call powerless powers of attorney. So remember in this document, we name who gets to make the decisions, and then we say all the things that they're allowed to do. Now, when I run into a situation where one spouse is in a nursing home and the other spouse is healthy living out in the community, the healthy spouse typically has is there anything that you can do to help protect my money? I can't afford to go through $11,000 a month as long as my husband is in the nursing home. We're going to lose all of our money. Well, in that fact pattern, we are almost always going to recommend transferring money. Almost always. Now, don't go do this on your own. It's complicated stuff. But we're almost always going to transfer assets from the healthy spouse, from the sick spouse to the healthy spouse, and then do some other maneuvering thereafter. But even transfers between spouses, like if I want to move money between spouses or if we wanted to do gifting to the kids in that scenario to try to protect the money, I have to have the proper gifting authority in the power of attorney documents. The document has to authorize the gifting of large sums of money. And if it doesn't have it, then my hands are tied. The family comes in here and I'm saying, I'm sorry, you're his agent under the power of attorney, but you don't have the legal authority to do the things that I would like to recommend that you do because your power of attorney document was poorly drafted. So I don't want you, my takeaway for you in the power of attorney thing in this incapacity planning thing is really two things. One, if you don't have a power of attorney, if you are over the age of 18 and do not have a power of attorney, you should have a power of attorney because any of us could become incapacitated at any point in time. Now, if you do have a power of attorney, you need to have it reviewed by somebody who's going to let you know, does this thing have enough muscle to it? If I get in one of these situations, if life throws me that slider, am I going to be able to react and adjust, or do I have the document that simply kind of allows my family to pay the bills and keep the grass mowed? One of the things that we do very early when we're working with our clients is we review your existing documents to tell you, hey, this is great, this is mediocre, or this needs to be replaced. And we do that for free for our clients. Bring in your old documents. We'll take a look at these and make some recommendations. All right. Now, if you want to learn more about this stuff, you want to take a deeper dive, you want the opportunity to ask us some questions, there's a couple of things you can do. One, you can call and ask for a consultation. The second thing is come to our workshops. I do workshops here in the Cranberry office and in other places a couple times a month. We bring groups of people together. We talk about wills. We talk about trusts. We talk about the nursing home system. We talk about all of this stuff and teach you how this thing really works and how, you know, the system is really going to make you go broke. And then we offer you free meeting to sit down with one of our folks to figure out if planning is the right thing for you, right? So low pressure, high information, come check us out. Go to SechlerLawFirm.com, S-E-C-H-L-E-R, lawfirm.com. Go to the resources, the workshop tab. Register for one of our upcoming workshops. Now, this coming week, we have the webinar version of it, so you can sit at home in your PJs. Now, please, if you're going to sit at home in your PJs, consider that you may turn on your camera, and that would be problematic for you and everybody else. So, join us. It'll be good, and you can ask questions and learn a lot. It takes about an hour and a half, and I can tell you, during that hour and a half, my one pledge to you is I will not waste your time. I'm going to give you good information that is going to help you move forward in this process or decide whether you want to move forward in this process of planning well for your family. All right, so SechlerLawFirm.com or give us a call, 724-841-1393. Again, 724-841-1393. My office is in Cranberry Township. We are right off the interstate. I'm sitting here looking at the window, looking at the interstate. We're close to it, easy to find. And we'll get you back on your way quickly. All right, now. we talked about a couple of things. We talked about the fact that most people, something like 56% of adults, don't have any planning in place. We talked about the fact that sometimes people think estate planning is only for rich people. And then I want to talk to you about the next myth is this common misconception, this common idea out there in the world that all I need is a simple will. All I need to do is get a will and then I'm good, right? Well, maybe. You know, there's this joke amongst estate planning lawyers that that when people call up and ask, how much is a simple will? Our answer is, well, I don't know. I'll let you know whenever I write one. Because the fact of the matter is, this stuff is not simple. Anybody that tells you that all you need is a will, all you need is a simple thing, print it off the internet, or here's this form. You know, there's so many lawyers out there that are taking a will document, they're taking off the client before you, they're taking off their name, they're putting on your name, and you're getting the same will as the other person. But man, is that a disservice. They are lying to you, folks. If you really believe that your needs exactly match their previous client's needs, then get the blindfold off. Sometimes, and my biggest concern is for some general practice lawyers, a will is an easy thing to sell. You call up a lawyer, you say, I need a will. They say, great, come on in. We'll have you sign in it next Tuesday. And then they put this document in front of you without really talking to you about any of the contingency stuff. They're not talking to you about probate avoidance. They're not talking to you about planning for people with disabilities. They're not talking to you about protecting assets from the nursing home. And they're not talking to you about it, not because you don't need to do it. Let's be clear. They're talking to you the way that they're talking to you because they don't know how to do it, or they have a belief system that says you shouldn't protect your stuff right now. That is I think the biggest disservice that I see people doing is this notion that is out there that all you need is a will, right? Look, if that's the case, you know, if that were the case, then we wouldn't have an office full of people doing more complicated planning. And they're doing more complicated planning, not particularly because they're wealthy and not particularly because they've got some complicated issue. They're doing better planning because they're concerned that if life throws me a curveball, like a grandchild becomes disabled, like my kid dies before me and then I need to have underage planning for my grandchildren, like what happens if I leave my money to my kid and my kid goes to a divorce? Are we going to lose my life savings to my daughter's divorce? Let's be honest, I'm not really sold on my son-in-law anybody. No young man is ever going to be good enough for my little girl, right? And so, you know, is there this concern that we leave our money to our kids and then they lose it to a poor marital decision or whatever the case is, right? If you want to have that kind of a conversation, if you want to talk about protecting your family from the things that really get in the way, you know, lawyers generally don't get wrong the question, who gets it? It's not hard in a will or a trust to say equal shares to the kids if that's what you want to do. But what happens is, and where this stuff really gets screwed up is, either we get sick before we pass away and then there's nothing left to give to the kids, or when we give it to the kids have something going on. The kids have some sort of a legal issue. The kids have some sort of a gambling issue. The kids have some sort of a divorce issue. The kids have a disability. The kid has died before you. The kid, like, all of those things are the things that blow up the family. Those are the things that'll take away your life savings. It's not usually taxes. You know, everybody wants to talk about taxes. Fine, we could talk about taxes, and we want to be savvy with taxes. But if we have a death tax on your estate, and if you're a Pennsylvania listener, the death tax, if you're leaving stuff to the kids, is only 4.5%. Nobody's going broke if they take 4.5%. Sure, we want to be smart, and if I can avoid paying some taxes, I can avoid paying some taxes. But it's 4.5%. And, you know, the federal estate tax, for most Americans, doesn't apply anymore because we have these large multi-million-dollar lifetime exemptions. So something like 98% of the population is never going to pay any federal estate tax unless there's a massive change in the law. So the death tax issue is really a 4.5% issue. So yeah, it's not that we shouldn't talk about taxes, but way too often, you know, the conversation that I hear when people come in with questions, it's slided way too heavily towards taxes. Everybody's concerned about these taxes. But frankly, the tax tail's wagging the dog. What we really want to do is make sure our kids get the most that they can. And if you want to make sure that the kids can make get the most that they can, the biggest threat is not taxes and it's not probate. Sure, those are things that we need to think about. The biggest threat is what happens if I get sick before I pass away. Because the Alzheimer's Association is telling us that 1 in 3 seniors dies with dementia. The state of Pennsylvania tells us that the average cost of a nursing home per month in Pennsylvania exceeds $11,000. So if 1 in 3 of us are going to have dementia, and that's just dementia. That doesn't incorporate any of the other things that could require long-term care. Parkinson's disease, mobility issues, COPD, mobility issues. If I have one of those things, I could need a nursing home. But just 1 in 3 of us is going to have dementia. And you couple that with the fact that Medicare doesn't pay for the nursing home. Medicaid will pay for the nursing home, but it requires you to essentially go broke first. And so... what a lot of our planning is trying to protect assets so that you don't get stuck in a private pay situation where we got 11 grand going out the door every month until you either pass away or run out of money. I didn't work my tail off in my entire career to lose it all to some broken government system that requires me to go broke if I have dementia in my senior years. It's just not the way it should happen. I, as a planner, don't believe that that's what should happen. But I'm telling you, that's what happens. So here we are in estate planning awareness week. Take some time, become aware. Check me. Get on the Google and ask them, you know, search for how much money am I allowed to keep if I go to the nursing home. What you're going to find is that in Pennsylvania, a single person at most gets to keep $8,000 of cash. Then maybe their house and maybe a car. But here's the thing, and here's why I say maybe. Because you're out of money. They take all your monthly income every month. So how are you paying your property taxes and utilities on that house? And if you're single and you pass away and you have been on Medicaid and Medicaid has been paying the nursing home, so if you go through all your money and you're still allowed to keep this house, when you pass away, the state of Pennsylvania has a claim against that house. They can force the executor of your will to sell the house to pay back the state of Pennsylvania for every penny they spent out on your care. And so a single person that goes to the nursing home will go broke if they're in there long enough. And if you find that to be an acceptable last chapter of your life story, then don't do any planning because it's already written for you. If, on the other hand, your thought is, no, I don't want that to be the way that I want this thing to end. I don't want the memory of me to be, you know, he led a great life. Too bad he lost it all to dementia on his way out. That's not going to be part of my story. I'm going to take some steps to protect myself. And what that looks like, oftentimes that looks like using trusts to protect assets from long-term care expenses. Do it all the time. You have your home. You have some money in a trust. After a couple of years, the nursing home law cannot require you to spend those dollars on your long-term care costs. And as a result, we just protected our dollars from this harsh government rule books that requires me to go broke or requires my wife to lose her home if I have dementia. That portion of the government's rule book is not acceptable to me. I do not accept it. If you're telling me I got to go broke if I get sick, no thanks. I'm going to take steps to protect my family. And if you want to learn more about it, you should come check out one of our workshops. You can find them at secularlawfirm.com. There's pre-recorded ones on there. We have a live webinar. You can ask me questions coming up this week. You can come to one of our in-person workshops that we have from time to time. And if you have a loved one who is already in a nursing home and you are paying that kind of money, 11 grand a month, out the door to the nursing home, give us a call. We're going to skip the workshop. We're going to schedule you for a free consultation. We're going to figure out if there's anything that my law firm can do to protect you, because I don't believe that your family should lose it all because somebody got sick. I just don't believe it. Getting sick is bad enough. The social pressures, the family pressures, the healthcare pressures that puts on a family when a family member gets dementia, it's a punishment enough. Why are we taking everybody's money? Why does a government rule book require us to go broke? And if that's not acceptable to you, you should give us a call, 841-1393. And just say no. Just say no thanks. That's not how it's going to be in my family. And I'll teach you how to protect yourself. If this has been helpful, I hope it has. You know, we're talking about doing a show during Estate Planning Awareness Month, and I didn't think getting on here and saying you need a will, you need a will, you need a will, you need a will was going to be enough to create the awareness, because lawyers scream that you need a will as loud as we can, and you've heard it, and you still haven't done anything. So what I'm trying to do is tell you, you don't just need a will. The will is where we get started. What you really need to do is make sure that your family's okay if you get sick. That's my opinion. You need to take care and you need to protect yourselves, because this government rule book that applies to seniors who get sick is broken. All right. If you want to learn more, come to SechlerLawFirm.com, S-E-C-H-L-E-R, lawfirm.com. I thank you for listening this week. We'll check you out next week.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.